Hallelujah. Jesus, you are Lord. I thank you for insight and revelation into the things that you're going to teach us tonight. Holy Spirit, I welcome you here. I thank you, Holy Spirit. Though we are tired in body, we are alive in spirit. Awaken us tonight, Holy Spirit, for the revelation of the things you want to teach us. Where I include myself in that. Father, I give you honor and glory, and I thank you. Praise your holy name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well,
I don't know how long I'll be sitting here. I'm about ready to get up already. The power of words. The power of words. As much as I want to sit. Whenever and whatever we say, we do not realize the consequences. Until we have spoken it, and it's always too late to take back what we said, because words are powerful and creative. Every word you speak is powerful and it creates something. Don't worry. So, here we see this emerge in Genesis 1:1-3. In the process of creation, God began to speak into being. And things came to pass in the creative process. Our words do the same thing. Good or bad, we determine. Because God gave us the authority. The authority to speak those words. So in Genesis 1, amen. Here's what God did. He said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Then, hear that, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. He said, then, let there be light. And there was light. So now God began starting the process of speaking to the darkness, to all everything that he created into being. I'm going to go someplace else with that all of a sudden. Switching it up again. When Jesus said in the Gospel of John. Because see, John speaks of who Jesus is, which is amazingly interesting, because He talks about, again, in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, when in Genesis 1, when the Father, God the Father, spoke, what happened? Who did he speak? It was the Word. It was Jesus that was performing everything with the Holy Spirit. And he says, all things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that was come into being. In him was life, and the life, hear this, was the light of man. So without the Word of God coming to the earth, man would not have the luminous light of the Holy Spirit within them. There would be no light. And that's why. Another story. Okay. Once I start with this, it's all over the place. So, in him was life, in Jesus, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So darkness can't understand or understand the light that's in you. It's in you, 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 you. Light can't comprehend it. Or darkness can't comprehend it. How can when I say darkness, until they're willing to realize Jesus as Savior and Lord, there is no light switch that's turned on. The light switch that's turned on comes through salvation, comes through Jesus being the light. So when you walk into the room, you flip a switch. Well, they need that same switch flipped on in them. That's where the evangelism comes in. The evangelist comes in. The preaching of the word comes in. Because they turn the switch on. And the switch is on. Now all of a sudden, there's light that's illuminated in their spirit. Before that, there is no light. There's a measure of faith to believe, but there's no light that's turned on. And the more, the more light that is illuminated inside of you, the brighter the bulb becomes. And the brighter that bulb becomes, you begin exhuming the light of Christ. How does that happen? It happens in the relationship. It happens in the process. It happens in the speaking of your words. The words you speak, the more that you speak, the more that creative process reaches into you and you begin to perform like the light bulb. It's brighter. I wasn't going to say all that, but there you go. So, the Holy Spirit is our illuminator. He's constantly turning the switch. He's going from the incandescent to the fluorescent to the LED. That's what he's doing. He's going. And there must be another one that's even brighter than all that and illuminating. The sun is so bright that you can't look at it because of the luminous, whatever they are, that comes out of the sun, the rays. Yes. And why did Moses shine brighter? Why did he shine brighter? He stayed in the presence. He became nuclear. There it is. That's the one. Nuclear. So he became nuclear. And they couldn't handle the brightness of that light. The two bombs in Nagasaki and Hiroshima were so bright that it illuminated the whole sky. And that whole part of the earth, it was so bright because of the explosion. When the engine love this, when the Holy Spirit really gets a hold of us, he begins doing that nuclear process if we let him, and that explosion begins to illuminate so much that people, when we really get to this place. Where you walk, people will go, who is that? They don't even know you're a Christian until they walk by you, and then all of a sudden it's like, because the Holy Spirit. I'm not a mystic. But see, we really don't understand how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. The Holy Spirit, not only, so many times we just go, well, as long as I read the Word, that's fine. No. Reading the Word is part. But when you read the Word should bring you closer to where Moses went. It should bring you to that place where Moses was. But we're so busy. Busy, 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 busy little bees about our business instead of busy about His business. What's His business? Our relationship. Our relationship. Not what you do for God, what God does through you. Okay? So, that was more than okay. Okay. So, and here down in verse 12 it says, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in His name. Okay. Alright. I gotta stop there for now. Okay. Within our mouth, we hold a creative process. Now, that process continues to perform long after we have spoken. That's why we need to think our words. You heard me say it. If you can believe it, you can receive it. If you can believe it, you can receive it. It's yours by faith. Can you believe it? That's the key. That's the key. And you will not believe it by just thinking it. Hoping, wishing. Don't do that to me. I'll be singing. No. Hope. I hear it a lot. I hope I'm getting better. It's not going to happen. I hope I make it. Hope is, it's not a bad thing, but it's a future thing. It's not a present thing. Faith is a present thing. Faith, hope, and love. Faith takes hope. Faith will take you through hope. And love will overcome it. What am I saying? By faith, I believe. My hope is not deferred, it's increased because I believe. But when I love Him, that love takes my faith and my hope and it illuminates it. And I'm able to believe for what I can't believe. I'm able to receive what I can't receive. Because He takes me there. Not you. He takes me there. And then you be like Moses, shine like Moses, and when you're working, when you're doing anything, whatever you're doing, and people come around, they go, you can talk to someone and all of a sudden, they're there. I mean, they're there to hear. They're there to receive. Why? Because you have spent time with Him. Okay? All right. So, everything's performing long after we said, you and listen to this. You and I can bring blessings or curses with our mouth. You can bless and you can curse. Starts with you. The moment you say something negative, you have already opened an avenue for yourself for disbelief or unbelief. You open it. Because you steal faith, hope, and love. You steal it from yourself. So, yeah? Huh? Okay. So, we can be negative or positive in our speech. Norman Vincent Peale, I don't know if some of you have ever heard of him. He wrote a book on positive thinking. Well, he was a Christian. Believe it or not, he was a Christian. Crystal Cathedral. He was a student of Norman Vincent Peale. Robert Shuler. Yeah. And I met him, by the way. He ain't nothing like anybody thought he was. He is awesome. Unfortunately, the ministry, when his kids got involved, destroyed the ministry. But beyond that, what he was saying is the positive thinking that we come from is our thoughts in Christ, the Word of God. When the Word of God is in us, we're positively thinking. When the Word of God is not, we're negative thinking. So, we can bring life to a situation or death to what we speak. Bring life, or you can bring death. We live with the power, but we don't think of it this way. We hear about the Holy Spirit, but we don't realize the power of the Holy Spirit that dwells within. We take it for granted. We go, oh, I'm saved. The Holy Spirit is in me. Baptized in the Holy Spirit, and He's in me. That's as far as we go. God wants us to go farther than just that place. And well, the only way you do that is through that relationship and through action. What I find interesting, if you read through the book of Acts, is it's called the book of Acts, or it's also called the Acts of the Apostles or the Acts of the Church. Why? Because they were in action with what they did. They didn't sit in their houses. They were out working in their community and inviting people. They were introducing them to Jesus. They were called the people of the way. That's what the book of Acts called them. They're the people of the way. What was that? And then they called them little Christ. Little Huios. Little Christ. Little one. They're just like him. Christian. That's where the name Christian came from. So Jesus made it clear that our words are the very thing that comes out of our mouth will define who we are and what we believe. What did he say? He said, from out of the mouth comes what's in the heart. What's in your heart, what you think, what you believe, old computer language that I remember, about the best thing I could remember is giggle. Garbage in, garbage out. It's the first thing they taught us. Giggle with the punch cards. sorting machine. Had to wire the... We had to wire the board so it would read right. Mine never read right. Okay. Oh, Lord, help me. So, I'm going to move on. So there's no denying that we have power in the use of our words, and they can bring life, death, to the one speaking. In Exodus 34, 27, you see Moses. And what did Moses have to say? Here's what he said. Then the Lord said to Moses, write down these words. Now, what were the words he was writing down? Ten Commandments. Okay. For in accordance with these words, I have made a covenant with you. And with Israel. So he was there with the Lord 40 days, 40 nights. He did not eat bread or drink water. And he wrote on the tablets the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments. Who wrote? God did. And God says, remember these words. These words are important to you and important to Israel. And he did the same thing that Jesus did, what? After he was baptized, and the Holy Spirit came upon him, and he was taken into, what? Wilderness, desert, hills, mountains, to be tempted by the devil. 40 days, 40 nights. No water, and no bread. Nothing to eat, nothing to drink. So in Ecclesiastes, it talks about the teacher. Yeah. Ecclesiastes. I'm talking to myself. Hallelujah. Gotta talk to somebody. Okay. Ecclesiastes 12:10. 10 through 13 says this. This is Solomon speaking, the preacher. And I'm gonna start with verse 9. In addition to being a wise man, the preacher or the teacher also taught the people knowledge, and he pondered, searched out, and arranged many proverbs. The preacher sought to find delightful words. So, and to write the right words of truth correctly. So, what God is saying through Solomon in Ecclesiastes, I'll read the rest of it, but what he is saying there, choose your words before you speak. Don't just become blabbers of the mouth. Don't be a wise man in your thinking and think it over before you speak. Don't be quick to speak. Slow to speak. Slow to anger. Heard that? Mm-hmm. Okay, verse 11 says, the words of wise men are like gourds. Ever seen a gourd? You know, gourds that they put on the table. You don't eat them. Hard as a rock if you eat them. I don't know if you can bust it. Maybe you can bust them with a hammer. But anyway, that doesn't move. It's not an edible fruit. It's sustained. It stays there. It doesn't move. So, I just find it interesting, some of the translation, what they translate. It relates anyway. Just me. And masters of these collections are like well-driven nails. So the words of the wise men, I'll skip the gourds, are like the masters of collections of these words, and they're like well-driven nails. The nails that are going to stay in the spot and be secure and hold what they're attaching to. And they are given by one shepherd. Think of that. Who's our shepherd? Jesus. So when our words truly become His words, we truly become one with Him. And meek and mild like Moses. And meek and mild like Jesus. Because we do not blurt our words just to say something. But beyond this, Solomon says, my son, be warned. The writing of many books is endless and excessive. Devotion to books is wearying to the body. So there's a lot of books and a lot of libraries, and there's a lot of information and a lot of things that you can glean from, but not all of what you read is good for you. But one book. That's what he's saying. One book. We have the one. The conclusion, when all this has been heard, is fear God, keep His commandments, because this applies to every person, for God will bring every act to judgment. Everything which is hidden, whether it's good or evil, everything will be exposed. Now, how do I get away from the exposure? Get to the one who can illuminate everything, and that's Jesus. And allow the Holy Spirit to take the words of Christ and illuminate them in our hearts and transform our minds. Where's that? Romans 12, 1 and 2. We can look at that real quick. Well, not real quick, but we'll look at it. It says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say, to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Sound judgment does not come because you sit on a bench judging people. Sound judgment comes because you sit in the presence of the real judge, Jesus, who's going to judge all mankind. Sound judgment comes when the words that we speak are life. Life. He speaks life to his church. Life, which is valuable and important. We cannot speak anything but life if we know him. When you know him, life comes out of you. The revelation of who he is comes out of you. You're welled up with let me put it this way. Your feelings, your emotions, and your will are just so enamored, engulfed in his presence, his love, and everything in who he is. Amen. Thank you very much for that. It's true. John what? Yes. Yeah. You get that scripture. Amongst many others. Amen. Okay. Is this helping a little? Smidgen? Okay. Proverbs 6:2. It tells us that we can be ensnared by our words. So we need to be careful what you agree to. Let's turn there. Proverbs. Proverbs 6, deuce. Yeah. Must be human. Come on. I am. What did I say? I was going 2-6. I'm dyslexic besides. 6-2. Let me read up ahead. Verse 1. It says, my son, if you have become surety for your neighbor, and have given a pledge for a stranger. Now, let's take that surety, that agreement. You've made that agreement with your neighbor. Okay? And verse 2 says, if you have been snared with the words of your mouth, in other words, you made an agreement with the son of a gun, I shouldn't have done that. Yep. Have been caught with the words of your mouth. Now you're caught. That's why you gotta watch your words and what you do and what you decide to do and what you agree to do. Don't agree with someone in the world. You know why? Because they can turn on you unless you know for sure and you have written down what your words are in agreement. Years ago, you didn't have to do it so much as you do today. Years ago, a handshake was good. So he says, do this then, my son, and deliver yourself. Since you have come into a hand of your neighbor, so you have shaken, go humble yourself. When you've been and made a mistake, and importune your neighbor. In other words, give no sleep to your eyes, nor slumber to your eyelids. Deliver yourself like a gazelle from the hunter's hand, like a bird from the hand of the fowler, and go to the ant, O sluggard. Observe her ways and be wise, which having no chief, officer, or ruler, and prepares her food for summer. So, you can finish reading that sometime. But what he's saying is, don't make an agreement that is not going to be a good agreement for either party. And later on, you got to go into it. And you're in trouble. Because now it's going to cost you. Okay. Psalms. The book of Psalms. Chapter 12. Now, this is a favorite guy, David. So the the words, he says, 12:6-8. He says, the words of the Lord are pure words. God doesn't give you negative. They're pure as silver, tried in a furnace on the earth, refined 7 times. You, O Lord, will keep them. You will preserve him from this generation forever. The wicked strut about on every side. When vileness is exalted among the sons of man. In other words, God's word will always remain steady and straightforward, and he will not change his word. The end of the book of Revelation tells us it's forever. The words of the book are written down. They are eternal. So everything that Jesus spoke and said, I don't care who says it or who disagrees with it, it's eternal. Because it comes from the Father. And Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father speak. And we need to be people who speak only what he speaks. And if it's not true, don't do it. Don't make an agreement to something that will compromise the God in you. Okay? He didn't call us to compromise. He called us to be men and women of faith and power. And if we're walking in the truth and the righteousness of God, nobody wants to cross it. Even their worst enemy doesn't want to cross. They want to kill you, but they don't want to cross the God in you. Bluntly put, Psalm 55, 21. Okay, 55 verse 21 says, he's talking about the smoothie who comes along and he talk the legs off the table, as Timmy would say. I could talk the legs off the table. His speech was smoother than butter. Now you know you're in trouble when you're hearing someone that. But his heart was war. In his heart was war. His words were softer than oil. Yet they were drawn swords. His words were twisting, ready for a fight, ready to draw you into something you didn't want to be drawn into. Drawing you into a conflict that you didn't want to be drawn into. Smooth, Mr. Smooth, Mr. Slick. Eddie Haskell. I didn't do it. It wasn't me, Mrs. B. It was me. But you, O God, bring them down to the pit of destruction. God will deal with them. Men of bloodshed and deceit will not live out half their days. But I will trust in you. Be careful. It's warnings. And it's warnings to those who do it, who try to make that smooth, slick talk and suck you in. They're in trouble right away. Jeremiah, oh wait. I got to read what I wrote. God does not appreciate our misuse of the words we make to one another in a covenant agreement. And we say one thing and do another. We must be consistent and not double-minded. James 1, 6 through 8. Be consistent in your speech, not double-minded. James, there you are. James chapter 1, 6 through 8 says this. But he must ask in faith without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. You can't play with the world and play with God in the church. You can't play in both camps. You can't. In Revelation chapter 3, God says, okay, boys and girls, get it right. If you're sitting on the fence, you better get off the fence. Well, one side or the other. You're either hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, sitting in the middle, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Whoa. Not good. So, in Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Here we go. Your words were found, and I ate them. Ate them. What's he talking about? What's he talking about? He engulfed. Every word that God spoke to him, he took it to heart. He didn't let them pass by. They meant something to him. So he says, I ate them. I ate them, bless you. And your words became for me a joy and a delight of my heart. For I have been called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. God called you. Why are you content? Little bit you got. Eat them. Eat the words that God gives you. Eat them. I love them. Eat some more. You shouldn't do that. You hear Joan in the background. Rich, stay on course. I'm trying. Okay, Psalm 119. The middle of the Bible. Psalm 119. Psalm 110, 105. 119, 105. It says this. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and I will confirm it that I will keep your righteous ordinances. I am exceedingly afflicted. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Let God revive you. If you're having a bad day and the day doesn't seem like it's going right, let God revive you. Let Him revive your heart. Let Him revive your spirit. Let Him build you up and encourage you. Let Him dance with Him. You know? Dance with Him. Be goofy. What the heck? I do it. Anyway, Jesus said this. He said to the Pharisees, He said, Matthew chapter 12. Take a look at Matthew. Matthew 12, verse 34. 12:34. I'm going to go up to 33. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree and its fruit bad. There we go. For the tree is known by its fruit. Okay? Who's he talking to? Who's the tree? We're the tree, right? Alright? I mean, he's talking to the Pharisees, but he's saying to them, you brood of vipers, how can you being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good measure what is good. And the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give account for in that day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You determine your own judgment. God doesn't have to say anything to you. He gives us His word. He gives us His word. So we, in turn, should be giving Him our word that He's already given to us. We shouldn't be saying, well, I can't do this or I can't do that. We should be saying, I will. I will, Lord. Whatever you want me to do, I will. Whatever you want me to do, I will. Not I can't. I'm not able. You can't do the Moses thing. And Moses said, well, I can't speak. I stutter. God says, I'll take care of that. Listen. Whatever God tells you to do, do it with all your heart. Love Him with all your heart. Don't just think about it. Do it. There's it. Do it again. We make excuses for things that are no excuse. God doesn't say, well, you can't do that. I'm sorry, I have not given you that ability. Really? When I came here, I said, you know, I really can't do that. You know, that was the worst thing I could have said to the Lord. I really... Can't you get somebody younger? Get somebody else. just get somebody else. You know, let me just, you know, my time is done. And of course, you know what he said to me. I didn't ask your opinion. I did not ask your opinion. Your opinion doesn't matter to me. And as far as being equipped, I do the equipping. Oh. I give the ability. So I went a little bit, I said, I had a butt. But you know, most of these guys have the degrees. I only have one. Hold it. I'll equip you. So I have one requirement. Humble yourself before me. Be obedient to my word. Be careful of your mouth. Be careful of your words. And I will do what I said I would do. Because it doesn't require you. I just use you because you're a vessel that's willing to be used. That's all. I'm looking for vessels willing to be used. And willing just to say yes, okay. So, it doesn't make you a big man of faith or woman of faith. It makes you a child of God, willing to do what God is asking you to do. And speaking His words, not yours. Speaking His truth and giving people that hope. Because the hope lies within you that they need. So, in all this I'm saying to you tonight is to be encouraged. God has not done with you yet. He's not. He's not done with me yet. Not at all. If I wrote down everything He's told me, I would be in a lot of trouble. I can't do half the things He's told me that I haven't finished yet to fulfill. And I said, and I'm going, you're going to have to be 120 to get all this stuff. You understand what I'm saying? He said, I need as many of these places that will be obedient so that my word will be proclaimed. And not just people sitting, but people actively living out my word in them. So that's what we're here. That's what we're doing. And I hope I'm being obedient real good. Because I ask every day, like I was telling Craig today, I'm constantly on the repentance side. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me. I don't know what I need forgiveness for, but please forgive me. Because I hope I didn't mess up again. And you know, it helps keep me straight. And it helps keep me going forward. Amen? Well, let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word tonight. I thank You. Your word is true. Lord, You have promises for our lives. And You give us hope for a future. Because You know us. So today I ask a blessing upon Your children. I ask, Father, that the grace of God, the peace of God that passes all understanding will encourage them and strengthen them. They go here from here tonight encouraged because You go with them. Father, I pray that every word that I spoke tonight will bring a blessing and an encouragement to their lives. That they will not look at this in the negative, but look at this in the positive and the hope that they have within You. And that they will guard their words. And think before they even speak. And Lord, that they'll ask You, the Holy Spirit, to give them words of wisdom to speak so that life will come to who they speak to. Because they go, and where they go, the atmosphere within the room must change because they go with You and the gospel of peace shot upon their feet, and the word of God hid in their heart, and when they speak the wisdom of heaven. Father, give them the boldness and the courage to walk out and live out their life in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. Yep. We're going to pray for Nephew and Ralph and Heather, right? Well, you're going to stand in the gap. Father, we lift up Ralph tonight. And we come against cancer in every form. And we speak, Holy Spirit, that right now, I pull that cancer out of his body. I pull it by the authority of Jesus Christ. I pull it. Command it to come out. Command it to come out. You have no right. You have no authority in his body. Come out in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask right now, the healing power of the Holy Spirit will flow through him. Father, that he will cry out to you. He will cry out, Jesus! Jesus! And Lord, we stand the gap as Richard is standing in, and we agree with him. And Father, we're thanking you that where two or more are gathered together in your name, there you are in the midst. And Lord, I thank you that it is finished. And Lord, we thank you that in Kimmy she will walk farther than she's ever walked. And we thank you for the healing virtue of the Holy Spirit flowing in her and flowing in Rita. In Jesus' name, amen.